Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, April 22nd. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Okay, I feel like I say this a lot lately, but this episode is going to be really heavily into basketball because we have started the NBA playoffs. So that is a lot of what this episode is. But we are, as always, going to start with some MLB news. So this week in the MLB, just keep adding to the Marlins' frustrations early on. After Monday's loss to the Giants, their record is 3-14, and their manager had enough. Skip Schumacher got ejected by the plate umpire after he had been arguing with him twice. So just adds insult to injury to that loss. Angel star Mike Trout got a 2-run home run in the 8th inning, part of their 5 runs scored in that inning alone to beat the Rays 7-3 and take the LA team back to 500. The Yankees lost their game to the Blue Jays on Monday to lose their first back-to-back games of the season. The Yankees would go on to win on Wednesday to avoid the clean sweep by the Toronto team. The Diamondbacks lost their game to the Cubs on Monday in 11 innings. Tuesday, Braves pitcher Ronaldo Lopez pitched a scoreless 6 innings and got a W after the Braves won 6-2 over the Stros. Marlins pitcher Weathers got a career-high 10 strikeouts in his game over the Giants on Tuesday. Makes up for Monday a little bit there for the Marlins. And then 3 games also went into extra innings on Tuesday as well. I'm not going over all of those, but just thought that was kind of odd. Wednesday, the White Sox finally beat the Royals to stop their 6-game losing streak. They are now 3-15 on the season. The Red Sox had their first complete shutout game in Fenway since 2017 in the win over the Guardians 2-0 on Wednesday as well. The Rangers brought out rookie Jack Leiter, who made his MLB debut against the Tigers on Thursday. He did not do well, but that's not what's noteworthy. What's noteworthy is that 4 men in this family have played in the MLB. It is the first time that 2 brothers who played in the big leagues now have 2 sons playing in the big leagues. So kind of crazy there. Some seriously good baseball genetics. Astros pitcher Verlander returned to the mound for the Houston team on Thursday, and it showed. Houston beat the Nationals 5-3 in his season debut. Along the same lines, same with Cubs pitcher Jameson Taillon, who was finally off the injured list and wins his game 8-3 over the Marlins. Diamondbacks pitcher Montgomery won his debut for the Arizona team as they went on to win 17-1 over the Giants. Not only is this Montgomery's first game as a Diamondback, but his picture on ESPN, he is actually still wearing a Rangers hat. The D-backs got 22 hits in that game alone. The Tigers would go on to beat the Twins 5-4 on Friday with 12 hits, making that the fifth straight loss for the Minnesota team. It would end there, though, as they would go on to beat the Tigers the next night. Phillies pitcher Wheeler made a valiant effort at a no-hitter, but it came to an end in the eighth inning. The White Sox would end up still winning with seven hits, but still lost 9-5. Clase was so close to an in-park home run, but he was tagged out at home. Still, though, the Mariners would go on to beat the Rockies 7-0. In history-making fashion, Shohei Ohtani broke Hideki Matsui's major league record of the most home runs by a Japanese player ever with the 423-footer on Sunday. The Dodgers would go on to win that game 10-0, ending their three-game losing streak and ending the Mets' six-game winning streak all in one. There were actually 21 home runs scored that entire day to wrap up the week. And then the longest game of the week was the Angels-Rays game on Tuesday, which went into 13 innings to be decided. The Angels were winning the entire game until the Rays tied it up by scoring two runs in the ninth to take it to extra innings. Both teams would get a run each in the 10th and 11th. The Angels tacked on another in the 13th, and it just looked like we were going to keep repeating. But the Rays got a double to get a run up and then continued to roll with another, finally ending the game. Rays win 7-6. All right, like I said, this is going to be mostly a basketball-focused podcast because we got a lot of basketball news. So playoffs have begun, and we are going to start with the play-in part of the tournament. Tuesday started with big names in the play-in part of this to get their playoff spot, like, you know, just LeBron James and Steph Curry. The Pelicans-Lakers game was a close one. It's actually what we started the entire play-in tournament with. It went back and forth, but the Pelicans had a weak second quarter, which allowed the Lakers to create an 18-point cushion. And even though the New Orleans team chipped away at that deficit in the second half, the Lakers held on to win by four. It was the opposite for the Warriors, who trailed at half by four, but it got worse and worse after the Kings just piled on. Sacramento wins by 24 points. The Heat dominated first half, but the 76ers clawed their way back all the way back to tie it up with just 4 minutes into the fourth quarter. We then had a great game between the two teams, and we were tied with a minute 30 to go. The Heat would ultimately fall 1 point short. And then the Bulls came out hot, putting up 40 in the first quarter, but the Hawks answered with 45 in the next quarter. Ultimately, Coby White was too much for Atlanta. He scored a career-high 42 points to put the game away for Chicago. And then we had winner-take-all play-in games on Friday. So if you don't win, you go home. The Heat had a weak second quarter, only putting up 13 points the entire quarter. But it didn't matter. The other three quarters were enough to put away the Bulls 112-91. The final spot in playoffs up for grabs was between the Kings and the Pelicans. The Pelicans were 5-0 against the Kings this season, but they would have to win this one without Zion Williamson. They do just that thanks to a strong second quarter. So that officially made the playoffs officially set. So I'm actually going to do it by geographical location, or at least conference, let's say, this time. So in the East, because we've only got games ones that are actually complete. So in the East, the Cavaliers easily beat the Magic, who had a bad middle two quarters, to take game one by 14 points. Then the Knicks 76ers traded the lead so many times in their second half that I actually couldn't count it on the win probability graph. New York wins thanks to 72 points between their top two scorers. Speaking of stars, the Bucks had to play without Giannis Antetokounmpo, but still managed to beat the Pacers. They were winning by 27 points at half, thanks in large part to Damian Lillard, who put up 35 points by halftime. They would coast to an easy win there. The Celtics also really didn't sweat against the Heat either, although the score looks a lot closer than it was. That's because the Heat put up 35 in the final quarter to draw within 20. Yes, you heard that correctly. In the West, the Timberwolves put away the Suns after trailing going into the second quarter. They would end up winning easily 120-95. The Nuggets played the Lakers in game one on Saturday in a closer one. Both teams' leading scorers put up 32 points, but the Nuggets would play a better, more well-rounded game to win by 11. The Lakers have now lost 8 straight games to the Nuggets. And then speaking of close, the Thunder-Pelicans game was a tight one. We were tied at the end of the first quarter and tied at the end of the second quarter. That's just kind of nuts. But then the Thunder pulled away a little in the third. The Pelicans would outscore OKC in the fourth, but it wasn't enough to make up that small difference. Kind of crazy. You know what's not impressive? 8 points in a single quarter, and that's what the Mavs put up in the second quarter of game one against the Clippers. I don't think I need to tell you who lost that game, because the Mavs did, 109-97. Home teams are 8-0 after game one. Also, Team USA, still sticking with basketball news, Team USA was announced for the Paris Olympics this week. The team is stacked with 11 Olympic appearances, 10 gold medalists, 12 NBA All-Stars, 4 NBA MVPs, and 6 NBA champions. Now, Steph Curry is actually set to make his Olympic debut, while Embiid and Leonard are scheduled to make their first Team USA debut in Paris. Training camps will begin in July. For that full list, LeBron James is on there, Tatum, Leonard, Embiid, obviously. So KD, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, and I think Tyrese Halliburton and Drew Holiday was the only ones I missed. So I actually ended up reading off the entire thing, but if you want to see where they come from and who's on that list, check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more. And then also one final story. Raptors player Jontay Porter has been banned from the NBA after he gambled on basketball games. Not only did he actually place bets on NBA games, but he also shared confidential information with bettors and, even worse, limited his own participation in multiple games for betting reasons. So needless to say, he is banned. Little bit of football news. The NFL draft is this week. USC quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams is projected to go first to the Bears. LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels and UNC quarterback Drake May are the other two QBs projected in the first round, with J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix on the outside looking in. Also, you may hear of, because the draft is going on or about to go on, the lots of trades going on in the background, including the Broncos are trading to get quarterback Wilson. Not Russell Wilson, the one they just traded away. This time it is Jets quarterback Zach Wilson. So it looks like he will be headed to New York. Moving along to golf, Scottie Scheffler won his 4th PGA Tour title. I feel like I don't even need to say his last name at this point. He won his 4th PGA Tour title in the last 5 starts, making him the first golfer to do so since Tiger Woods in 2007 and 2008. This week, he won the RBC Heritage by 3 strokes on a rain-delayed Monday morning finish. He was leading by 5 with 3 holes to go when play was called due to darkness. Again, this was after a rain delay earlier pushed everything back. The other golfers pretty much knew it was likely in the bag for Scottie, and the only way he wasn't going to win was if his wife went into labor. She did not, though, and still he got to finish the tournament. The only start in this stretch that he has not won, he was a runner-up finish at the Houston Open. His 40 rounds under par or better helps make him the best golfer in the world, still sitting at the top spot. That run actually stems from East Lake last year, which is the tour championship in August. Kind of crazy there. And we are living in a time of domination in the golf world, not only on the men's side, but also on the women's. LPGA Tour player Nelly Korda won her 5th straight tournament this weekend at the Chevron Championship, which is the first LPGA major of the year. She has tied the LPGA record for the most consecutive wins at 5. We'll see if she continues. Moving along to Olympic sports, and we're going to go start with NCAA gymnastics. On the men's side, Stanford won its 10th team title and now sits tied for Illinois for the third most all time. Oklahoma and Penn State have the top spot with 12 titles apiece. Stanford won this year, which is their fifth year in a row, so the five-peat, something that has not been done since Nebraska in the 1979 to 1983 era. The Cardinal won by 5.635 points ahead of Michigan. Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Illinois round out the top five in that order. Asher Hong won the vault, parallel bars, and rings, while teammate Coy Young won the all-around for Stanford as well. On the women's side, there was a little bit more drama, and it started on Thursday night during semifinals. We would take the top two teams from the afternoon and evening session. Four teams competed in each. Number one, Oklahoma was undefeated and setting all kinds of records all year, but man, the semifinals were not their day. The Sooners put up their lowest score on vault, the first rotation of the semis, since 2008. They had three women, quote unquote, fall, because if they didn't actually scrape their butt on the ground, they came pretty dang close on that apparatus. After two more falls on beam, that took them out of the national championship hunt. And it literally was supposed to be Oklahoma in like number one spot and everybody else fighting for second. Suddenly that opened up. Alabama was not ready to walk through that door, though, as they also had three women fall on beam, something that has never happened in that program's history. Therefore, the top two teams from the evening session was Florida and Utah advanced from there. Cal and LSU advanced from the afternoon, LSU putting up the highest of the semifinal scores. Also, LSU was leading after the first and second rotations, but Utah stole the lead after the third on Saturday when we were going into the final for the national championship, with Utah, LSU, and Cal all within 0.15 points of each other. It was going to come down to the final rotation, and it was awesome. But Utah had to end on vault, which had taken down some of the best teams as we had previously seen. Their first vaulter fell, and their second only put up a 9.67. So Utah needed the others to mess up just to stand a chance. LSU did have a fall on beam during their second gymnast, but the rest of the team had nerves of steel and nailed their routines. That was enough to clinch it over Cal by 0.375. LSU wins their first national championship in gymnastics. Senior Haley Bryant tied Cal's Imaje Frazier for the all-around title for the Tigers as well on Thursday. Bryant also tied a different Cal gymnast for the vault title. There was not a single perfect 10 scored in the semifinals or finals, quite a contrast to conference championships. Also, just a quick tidbit. We are going to do eventually an episode on NIL and what all that means and all of that. But NIL, Livy Dunn, is one of the most lucrative athletes in the NIL space. She is a gymnast for LSU. She did not compete on a single apparatus at semis or finals. And then we also had the USA Olympic trials for wrestling this weekend, and we had a big upset to end the weekend. Aaron Brooks defeated David Taylor, who is the reigning Olympic gold medalist, in the 86-kilogram match. This is Taylor's first loss to a fellow American in 7 years. But congratulations to everyone else who did qualify for the Paris Olympics for Team USA. And then we just have some super quick highlights. To no one's surprise, Caitlin Clark went number one in the WNBA draft to the Indiana Fever. The Chicago Sky got two picks in the first round and chose South Carolina's Camila Cardoso, who went as number three, and LSU's Angel Reese as pick number seven. Also, the transfer portal is back open, so you're seeing lots of announcements. That is why. Also, football spring games end this weekend. Some are more entertaining than others. They're notoriously odd, though, with some doing full game / scrimmage like kind of games with tackling. University of Texas has said they would going to do that. And then others are a glorified field day. So take your pick if you want to go and watch that practice. Florida batter Jack Caglione hit a 516-foot home run in their game this week. That is the longest home run that in the stat era for college baseball. Kind of crazy there. And then finally, in the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes won their last game in Arizona before they officially moved to Salt Lake next year. That wraps it up with what happened over the last week. Now let's go over what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Starting, as always, with the MLB on Monday. The White Sox take on the Twins at 6:40 on Fox Sports 1. Then Tuesday, the Astros take on the Cubs at 6:40 on TBS. Saturday, the Reds at the Rangers or the Cardinals at the Mets can be watched at 3:05 on Fox, followed by the Diamondbacks at the Mariners at 8:40 on Fox Sports 1. And then we got two on ESPN to wrap up on Sunday. The Astros at the Rockies at 3:05 p.m. on ESPN. We'll have to see if the Rockies can turn things around as their coach got in trouble for posting something from a cockpit of a plane this week as well. We're waiting on more developments before I report on that. And then Cubs at the Red Sox at 6 on ESPN as well on Sunday. In NCAA softball and baseball, lots of ranked games going on, but none until Wednesday when we've got three back-to-back in softball. 15 Alabama versus 14 Arkansas at 3 o'clock on ESPNU, followed by 7 LSU versus 4 Tennessee at 5, and then number 11 UCLA versus 5 Stanford at 7, all on ESPNU, all back-to-back, so you could just sit and watch softball all day if you wanted to on Wednesday. Saturday, also a bunch of both, actually, games. I think they both have three each. So softball, number 10, Florida versus number 9, Georgia. So a huge SEC top 10 matchup. That will be at 10 a.m. on ESPN2, followed by 4, Tennessee versus 15, Alabama at 6 on ESPN2, and 17, Mississippi State versus 13, Mizzou at 8 on SEC Network. All top three. All three matchups for softball are in the SEC. Kind of crazy there. In the baseball front, 8 Florida State versus 7 Duke will take place at 3 on ACC, followed by 4 Kentucky versus 24 South Carolina at 5 on SEC Network. And then going to the Pac-12 with 16 Oregon versus 5 Oregon State at 8 on ESPN2. And then for wrapping up the week, we've got 3 softball and 1 baseball. So starting with baseball, 4 Kentucky versus 24 South Carolina. They will play at 2 on SEC Network. And then softball, 10 Florida versus number 9 Georgia in another matchup there at 11 on ESPN2, followed by 4 Tennessee versus 15 Alabama at 1 on ESPN2. And finally, wrapping up the entire week, 17 Mississippi State versus 13 Mizzou on SEC Network. Oh my gosh, y'all, the NBA playoffs obviously have begun. So I'm just going to go through game 2's starting tonight. In the East, the Magic versus the Cavaliers at 6 on NBA Network, and then the 76ers at the Knicks at 6:30 on TNT. In the West, the Lakers take on the Nuggets at 9 on TNT. Cleveland, New York, and Denver all have a 1-0 game heads up on the other. Tuesday, game 2's, 2 in the West, the Suns at the Timberwolves at 6:30 on TNT, and the Mavericks at the Clippers at 9, also on TNT. The East game, that is Pacers at the Bucks at 7:30 on NBA Network. Minnesota, Milwaukee, and LA have the one game lead. Wednesday, finishing up games 2, East, the Heat at the Celtics at 6 on TNT, followed by the West, the Pelicans at the Thunder at 8:30 on TNT. Boston and Oklahoma City lead that one. Game 3s will run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then game 4s do begin Saturday night with the Nuggets at the Lakers. That will be on ABC and then all day on Sunday. So check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times, because I just frankly didn't want to read them all out to you and bore the crap out of you. Football this week, we've got the NFL draft starting on Thursday. Round 1 will be televised at 7 on ESPN and ABC. Rounds 2 and 3 will be on Friday at 7 on ESPN2, and then catch rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday at 7 o'clock on ESPN. The UFL is also in action with San Antonio versus Arlington at 6 on Fox, or you can see the Birmingham Stallions at the Houston Roughnecks also at 6 on Fox on Saturday. Then the rest of the games will be on Sunday. The St. Louis Battlehawks versus the DC Defenders at 11 on ESPN, and the Michigan Panthers versus the Memphis Showboats at 2 on Fox. This week, the PGA Tour goes to the Zurich Classic. So this is where you're going to see two teammates or two golfers pair up together and play on a team. And I believe it is highest score wins this time because you're winning points. Round one will be on Thursday at 2:30 on Golf Channel. Same time and place on round two on Friday. Then the Zurich Classic round three will be at 11:45 a.m. on Golf Channel Saturday morning, and then moving over to CBS at 2. Also, the LIV Tour is back in Australia for playing Adelaide. Round two will be at noon on the CW. And then same exact schedule on Sunday. Zurich Classic final round at 11:45 on Golf Channel, 2 o'clock on CBS, and LIV final round at noon on the CW. Just like the NBA for the NHL, we are in first rounds. So, and game ones and actually twos are just beginning. So that's why I didn't bother to start going over the NHL results. But Monday tonight in the East, game two, Maple Leafs at the Bruins at 6 on ESPN. Boston leads that 1-0 so far. And same in the East, game two, Islanders at the Hurricanes at 6:30 on ESPN2. Carolina leads that start game one. In the West, game ones, Golden Knights at the Stars at 8:30 on ESPN, followed by the Kings at the Oilers at 9 on ESPN2. Tuesday, we've got a bunch of game twos. So the East, in the East, the Capitals at the Rangers at 6 on ESPN. New York leads that. And then the Lightning at the Panthers at 6:30 on ESPN2. Florida leads that. In the West, game twos, Avalanche at the Jets at 8:30 on ESPN. Winnipeg leads that. And the Predators at the Canucks at 9 on ESPN2. Vancouver leads that one. Then we have game threes and twos starting on Wednesday. Game threes will run through Friday. I think there's actually one also on Saturday night. And game fours will begin Saturday and Sunday. Again, all of them are listed on the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports blog episode. And then wrapping up the weekend is the Olympic sports. We've got Sunday track and field, the Bermuda Grand Prix, which is a partnership with the Puma American Track League. That will be televised at 2 on NBC. So a brand new event to check out on NBC this weekend. That wraps it up for me this week. It is obviously a busy week with NBA and NHL playoffs. Absolutely nuts. So I will try to keep you in the loop for that. As always, check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times, because there's plenty of them, especially in those two categories. Otherwise, I will catch y'all next week.